Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you are in the clubhouse. Welcome on this absolutely gorgeous day. It's going to be about 89 degrees, and thankfully the winds are blowing sometimes to 25, sometimes to 35 miles per hour, so expected to be nice and gusty. They're out of the east. We've got a great show for you lined up. Dave Reardon, sports columnist, Honolulu Star advertiser, is starting off the show. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, or store, townhouse, custom, or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. So call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. And Poi Pu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poi Pu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And also Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
And we want to thank the people over at Alert Alarm. They are our newest sponsor, Alert Alarm Hawaii, protecting commercial and residential customers across the islands with affordable burglar and fire alarm systems since 1962, providing security solutions for your peace of mind. That's Alert Alarm. So glad to have you. I just want to remind you that the surf's up, so traffic on Kamehameha is going to be just a little slow. And if you're going to the Turtle Bay Amateur, this is the first year it's being played over two weekends. Last weekend, Robert Nakagawa shot a two-over final round, 74-155 total, to win a thrilling 12th annual Turtle Bay Amateur A-Flight presented by Oakley. Chris Chung won the C-Flight with a final round 77 for a total 171. That was on the George Fazio course. Boy, there are a lot of bunkers on that course. And this weekend, it's the Champions Flight in addition to the B Flight. So if you're going out to the North Shore, certainly a great day to stop by and watch the 2014 Turtle Bay Amateur. And now, welcoming him for the first time into the clubhouse, it's my honor to introduce you to Dave Reardon, sports columnist, Honolulu Star advertiser. Good morning, Dave.
Aloha, Danielle. Since I'm on first here in the clubhouse, does that make me the clubhouse leader at this point?
Yes, indeed it does. You are the clubhouse leader. You've been drinking. What are you having this morning?
That's just so funny how you phrased that. Caffeine. I'm kind of a down-to-earth guy, but one of my little frailties or whatever is French press coffee. I'm fortunate that I have a job where I work in the afternoons, evenings, nighttime sometimes. So generally I can take my time in the morning and go through the process of making a very delicious cup of coffee the French press way.
And that's wonderful.
There's no brandy in it. There's no Kahlua in it, nothing like that. You're just in a good mood. Happy to talk with you.
Excellent. Well, when you said, I texted Dave to make sure, say, hi, Dave, you're going to be on the show at 7 o'clock. And he texted back, working on my French press coffee. I went, oh, my God, can I come over?
La-di-da, right?
Yeah.
You got the baguettes going. And,
right.
Yeah, not really. Yeah, that's like I said, that's my one little frailty there.
I have to ask you, let's start off, since we're in a jolly mood, the best golf tip that you've ever gotten. I know you don't play a lot of golf, but mm-hmm. when you do, somebody always has to give you a tip. And was there one that worked?
A tip? Okay. The best golf tip I probably got was from Bill Kwan. And it wasn't to quit playing golf, but it was to either take some lessons or quit. So, because I was a really young guy, probably about she 21, 22 years old, and my father had played, and my brother was getting started in playing, and some of our friends. So I'd go out, and I'd goof around like everybody else, and I was really, really bad. And I thought since I swung the club a little bit with my father, and that he had taught me a little bit before he passed away, I kind of thought I had a general idea of what to do. But as it turns out, I had none, even when it came to things like etiquette. So, and then if I was going to play at all, Bill Kwan, who was my boss at the time, you know, starting out, I was a young guy at the paper, and Bill was a sports editor. He took me aside one day, and he said, hey, I want you to call this guy, Larry Ordonio, and he will, you know, work with you a little bit. And yeah. Larry was really good, and but it got to a point where I goofed around with it a little bit, but I just, at that point in my life, I didn't have the patience, I didn't have the money, and I didn't have the time. So my brother and I are very close, good best friends, and he went on to keep playing golf, and he's very avid, and there's part of me that wishes that I had stuck with it, because I'm not a terrible athlete, so I'm sure it would have clicked in at some point, and I'd be able to, you know, maybe shoot high 80s at least. So he kept playing, and I didn't continue with it, but with the background of some knowledge I got about the game from caddying for my father as a kid, and then guys like Bill Kwan and Randy Caliente teaching me a little bit about it, I was able to learn enough to be able to cover the sport, you know, fairly well. I mean, I can't tell you the difference between the 18 different wedges that some guys have in their bags, but I can tell you, you know, I can count, so I can count. I understand that a lower golf score is better than a higher one, and I understand that you want to hit the ball straight and you want to get into that cup. So I think it's like most sports, almost all sports. They're pretty simple. But the people who are avid in these sports like to add all kinds of wrinkles, and most of these wrinkles don't really mean much at all. And I kind of don't like that about sports sometimes, where we can tend to get a little exclusionary in that regard. And if you're not an expert, sometimes people will kind of thumb their nose at you, when actually the games are fairly simple. Volleyball is the same thing. Three hits to get the ball over the net. Play to 15 or 21, depending on what you're doing, and that's about it. Everything else is gravy. Baseball's another sport like that. Sometimes they get overly complicated with jargon and all kinds of different things when the sport is really very basic at its heart. And there's a lot of little nuances that you can learn down the road. So I guess with all that being said, I'm trying to say that don't be intimidated by the so-called experts. If you really want to play golf or watch golf, hey, just go out there and enjoy it.
I love it. I love what you're saying, because money and time, probably the main reasons why more people don't take up the game, but it's also the patience, certainly. But, you know, if you just go out to have fun, still the money and time is a factor. But it's also that snobbish thing that you just added at the end that keeps a lot of people away from the golf course, because you always feel like you're sort of walking into an arena where everybody's sizing you up as soon as, and they're going, well, you don't really know what you're doing.
It's way better than it used to be, because I would say 20, 30 years ago, it was really bad and really intimidating. But I think, that's why shows like yours are important, because, and also with the ascent of Tiger Woods and women playing, young girls like Michelle Wee and Stephanie Kono locally. And I think in Hawaii it's a little different. We're a little more inviting, but there's still that little bit of a vibe, you know. And you're always going to get that. But there are, as far as the money part goes, there are lots of opportunities for kids to get involved in golf that are not expensive, and even for adults too. And I have a bit of a rotator cuff shoulder issue now, but when I get that taken care of adequately, unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to go the surgery route. Mm. But once that's taken care of, and I'm ready, I think I am going to take my brother up on his standing invitation. He has an extra set of clubs, and he told me he will take me out whenever I'm ready.
That's awesome.
I'm 53 years old now, I'm probably not going to go back to playing pick up basketball and stuff like that. So if my doctor told me that's how I messed up my shoulder in the first place. So I'm going to need something to do to stay active in my later years, and maybe golf will be that thing.
Now, it's a fun game to pick up, and just, you know, it's not a good walk spoiled. It's just a good walk as long as you're having fun. Hit the ball, pick it up if you're not getting there in a timely fashion, and just move along and enjoy the fact that you're in probably the most beautiful park. You know, look at all the green that's around you. So it's just green space.
It is very enjoyable.
It is.
Are you ready for the... Are you ready for the crazy stories about the crazy things we did as young men trying to play golf in our 20s?
I am ready, because I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan of yours. A big
fan,
Mr.
Oh, thank God. I am a big fan of yours. I've been a big fan of your voice for a very long time. And then when I finally met you and got to know you a little bit, so what a very nice and friendly person you are, I've become a fan of you personally and your professionally as well. So thank you for that. And I'm pretty sure these stories are PG rated, but they are kind of funny. And I think in the text with you, it says people starting out playing golf in their 20s, especially if they didn't have any junior golf experience or you know, and you know, young guys who played other sports and are just kind of out having a good time. We did some kind of weird, crazy, funny things on the golf course. And, you know, we're at that age when, yes, we might have a little Kahlua in our coffee at that age if we drank coffee in the morning. But, you know, we're at that age. It's like you're kind of at that point where you might be like, well, golf is a sport, and sport equals drinking, whether you're watching them or playing them. And so we would always, you know, we'd be out there early in the morning, and we would have coolers with us, of course, and we were not, you know, at that age where we're a little more, we're more mature about how we consumed and the rate we consumed. So, I wish I could remember which course this was, but toward either the ninth or 18th hole, we're striding up the fairway, and everybody has their shirts off, and everybody's making a lot of noise. And I remember the loudspeaker coming on, and they were the gentleman walking up the ninth fairway, please put on your shirts. So I think that's typical of, like I said, guys who don't really play the sport until they get into their 20s and they don't have that experience of learning some of the etiquette aspects. I got to play with Randy Caliente, who was a sports writer at the Star Advertiser, Star Bulletin, a long time, great Farrington athlete. Took up golf at a young age, very, very good golfer. So we go with Randy, Paul Carvalho, another sports writer, and Jim Easterwood. So I'm going to tell you about two shots. One of them I witnessed, one of them I did not. One, this is a pretty famous shot. It was chronicled by Grady Timmons, another sports writer, golf writer, very great, good writer. And he was on the scene when this one happened. Paul Carvalho, I think if you met him, you know he's a tall guy. He's about maybe 6'4", very, very nice man. And his wife, Betty, is probably about 4'10". So, Betty was at the course that day. She was driving the car or whatever, hanging out with Grady, Paul, and I think Dave Koga might have been there. And so as the story goes, they're teeing off, and the golf cart is off to the left. I think Paul was hitting, and Paul hit the ball off the tee, and it went really hard and to the left, and it hit the brake on the golf cart. And the golf cart starts rolling downhill and toward a lake. And little Betty Carvalho, all 4'10" of her, is like just running madly to catch the golf cart and apply the brake. And I think she did catch up to it before it went into the lake. So that was a pretty good one.
That's a miracle.
Yeah, and that was, I guess, 30-something years ago. We still get laughs over that one. And now this one is I love this one, and especially I witnessed this one. Jim Easterwood, who I mentioned earlier, you probably remember Jim. He was a great sports writer. He was controversial but funny, but had a great heart for Hawaii, from Texas originally. Lives here a long time, raised a family here, and now he's retired in Kentucky, and he remains one of my best friends and a mentor and a father figure to me. I love Jim Easterwood. And prefacing with that, I can be totally honest in this story now. Jim was sort of like I, not really the world's greatest golfer, but just out there trying to whack the ball around and have some fun. And one of the ways Jim would have fun would be by having different colored golf balls than anybody else. The colored golf ball he had this day was orange. Why he chose orange, we have no idea. We were playing at Kahuku, and some of the holes at Kahuku are parallel to a highway.
Yes.
I believe it was Kahuku, or if I'm wrong, maybe it was Kunia, but one of those courses, a lot of the holes are parallel to the highway, and we were on one of those. And Jim hooks a shot way off onto the highway, and we hear blast, brake, tires squeak. And we're wondering, uh-oh, something happened there. So we try to shrug it off and just play. And then we figure, well, if something bad happened, we're going to find out anyway, so we might as well just try to finish out the hole here. And so when we get to the green, a guy walks over and comes up to us and says, hey, who's playing an orange golf ball? Apparently what happened was the ball winged into it hit the headlight of the car and ended up rolling around in that little cavity of the headlight. If you can imagine that. And if it had been a white ball, it might have been like, well, hey, you know, we don't know. I mean, it could have been anybody's ball. I don't know.
Right.
But an orange ball, poor Jim Easterwood, it was, you know, he had no way out of that one. All ended well. I mean, the guy didn't get too mad. I think Jim wrote him a check or something to fix his headlight, and that was that. But so Jim would do things too, like at the par threes. I think this was the first time I saw him ever get a birdie. He got a birdie because we were on one of those really short par threes at Hawaii Kai, like one maybe the 90-yard one,
mm-hmm.
and he hit he mishit a three wood and got it to within like the 8 inches of the cup.
That's good.
So things like that, fun things like that. So
yes.
maybe that was not an orthodox club choice for Jim Easterwood on that day, on that 90-yard par three. It was the perfect club choice.
It was the perfect. See, it doesn't matter whether the professionals or the great amateurs would use it, but if it works for you, then absolutely just use it. We're going to take a real quick break. I need to talk to you a little bit about the Champions Tour stop that you covered.
Oh, I'd love to talk with you about that.
Excellent. We'll be back. We're talking, of course, with Dave Reardon, sports columnist, Honolulu Star Advertiser. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991.
licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
At least it got there. Casey Nakama is going to be inducted into the Hawaii Hall of Fame. That is so cool. I love Casey. Okay, we're talking with Dave Reardon, sports columnist, Honolulu Star advertiser. Coming up next is Nancy Cross, executive director. She is the actually tournament director of the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Now, we're talking with Dave. We've been covering all the funny. Now, we're getting to the serious stuff. But when you read Dave Reardon's columns in the Honolulu Star advertiser, you'll find that he finds things like the physios keep the champions players feeling prime. Guidos gets the gold by being just good enough. I love these. And this one I like the most. Golfers enjoy reading a lot more than greens. It was interesting, Dave, to see the different books that the champions on the Champions Tour read and find inspiration from.
Yeah, you know, they spend a lot of time on airplanes, and like most athletes, most professional athletes do. And then what I found, too, is that, you know, when I was, and I'm at the age now where I'm the same age as a lot of these champions guys, and so we have this kind of common ground on things. And they've inspired me not athletically as much as they have intellectually, because I have to admit something. I used to be an avid reader of books. But then I think because of the internet, my attention span has gotten a little bit shorter when it comes to reading, and I still love to read, but it's mostly in snippets on things, you know, short articles and things on Facebook and that type of thing, and Twitter, and I really, really need to get back to having that attention span of actually reading books. And so when I talk to Paul Guidos
Corey Pavin.
Yeah, Corey Pavin. Corey Pavin was really interesting because although Corey, I'm sure, is a, you know, very smart guy, he had to be to, you know, succeed at UCLA, you know, but his taste in books and things has changed over the years, and he has had some spiritual revelations or changes or whatever you want to call that. So that has contributed to that. So he's reading some very, very inspirational stuff, and he felt like that really affected his golf play one day. He says that sometimes he just feels like he's floating around out there in almost an outer body experience when things are going really well. But unfortunately for him, though, he came back to earth on the final day, and things did not go as well. And so that works both ways.
I love the quote that he gave you. Mm-hmm. Once in a while I get into, like, I'm just walking around and happen to play some good golf. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the spirits of the Hawaiian Islands. I read a particular book set in Molokai, some real spiritual stuff. So he really takes lots of Taoism and all kind of Judaism, Christianity. You know, he's really wide open to taking all of these different philosophies. And mm-hmm. a lot of people who are in golf, because it's a natural setting, you sort of feel more in tune with not just nature, but just with the spirits.
Yeah, and you know, I really love that approach to life, and I wasn't really quite sure if it something like that translates to professional sports, because you have to be so focused and so intense. But maybe as the guys get a little older, they see that if you have, like, one of my favorite bands when I was a kid was Pablo Cruz, and you know, they were real jazz. They were real kind of like surf rock, but with a lot of jazz influence, and they describe themselves, what they do, as relaxed intensity. And it may sound really oversimplified and kind of or sophomoric, but I think the people who can find a way to live their lives in that fashion have the most success, and when they do come up a little short, they're able to deal with it a little better. And it's, I guess it's about keeping things in perspective.
Exactly.
And that's, I think if there's any common theme to my writing and the way I try to approach life, it would be that. And sometimes sports fans don't like that because they want everything to be black and white, wins and losses. And
yeah.
I fired this coach because he lost two games, or, you know, this guy's the world's greatest because he hit a home run in his first game. And, you know, the more you do this kind of stuff, the more you realize, hey, it's, everything doesn't all happen in just one day. And that was fun. And also the whole, I thought on the final day too, we had some irony where the guy who hits the hole in one, Fred Funk, who's up in contention, ends up not winning. And you could make an argument, which I kind of did in my column, and which Paul Goyo's kind of supported a little bit, is that Fred himself also kind of confirmed it, that hitting the hole in one, yeah, you gain a stroke or two on your opponent in a tight battle, but it's like when you play poker, when things are going bad, you might go on tilt and your game goes off kilter. But even when things are going well, if they're going really well, you can kind of go off kilter too. And Fred kind of admitted that may have happened, and that's why he wasn't totally in the moment and playing as well as he could have down the stretch after the hole in one.
Yeah, it gets you all pumped up and all crazy.
Yeah,
and
then your body is all jacked
yes.
up, and you're all
yes.
and your head is somewhere else. And it's not like he was thinking about that car that he was going to get. It was more like just that thrill of getting that hole in one. Because even for these seasoned pros who've been doing this all their life, 50 years, that's such a rarity.
I got to ask you one final question. Nancy Cross, the tournament director, Hyundai Tournament of Champions. We've got the Pro-Am coming up. Want to get everybody excited about being in the Pro-Am. But more importantly, I want to ask you this question. I think that you're in a really good position to tell us. The Hyundai Tournament of Champions, the Sony Open in Hawaii, the Mitsubishi Electric, the Lotte Championship, the Pacific Lynx Hawaii Championship. How important are these events to Hawaii's economy?
Oh, I think they're extremely, extremely important. And, And you may have gotten this vibe already, and we've talked over the years, over lunch, so you may know this about me, that I'm not necessarily a golf fan. I like the things that golf brings to Hawaii in most cases, 99% of the time. I'm kind of lined up with George Carlin a little bit on golf courses at times, but I'm very...
Did we just lose Dave Reardon?
Dave.
We've just lost Dave. Okay, why don't we switch right over to Nancy Cross, who's standing by on the beautiful island of Maui. Nancy Cross, Tournament Director, Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. I'll be happy to answer that question for Dave.
Thank you. Will you just continue on there, Nancy?
Well, of course, because, these events have a huge economic impact to the state. And also, you know, a charitable impact. And so, it telecasts, you know, hours and hours of live and replay television, 2 million of viewers all over the world. And that's what brings people to Hawaii. They see that beauty. So, of course, you know, I think it's such a valuable marketing tool for the state of Hawaii.
Absolutely.
So,
the plantation course at Kapalua, just seeing the whales at that time of year, it's just so spectacular. You can't help but go, wow, I want to be there. I want to go there. And we've been talking earlier this year about becoming a volunteer or being a charity and getting involved. And we'll cover that a little bit as well. But first off, the Pro-Am, the 18-hole Al Amateur Tournament, tell us what that's all about.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think we're the only PGA Tour event which has a Pro-Am where you are guaranteed to play with the champion from the prior season, of course, because we have a winners-only format. So it's a very unique Pro-Am in that way. Obviously, it takes place at the beautiful plantation course, with our beautiful vistas. But our Pro-Am package includes an all-amateur tournament on January 7th on the Bay Course, which is an individual competition. And then on the following day, Thursday, January 8th, is the actual pro-am on the Plantation Course with one of our past champions. It also, you also have the option to buy skybox seating at a private skybox on hole number 18 to watch the professional competition Friday through Monday, and it includes hospitality at a Plantation House on Thursday, at breakfast and lunch buffet, open bar. You know, so it's a great tea gift package. So it's a great pro-am package, and we have a few pro-am spots left only. So
just a few?
I'd say maybe about six at this time.
Wow! So the pro-am entry includes the 18-hole all-amateur tournament, individual competition on Wednesday, the 7th of January, on the Bay Course. Beautiful course. The LPGA got to play there.
So, right.
Right? And it's still a private course, right?
Oh, no. It's a resort course.
It is a resort course. Excellent. So you can go practice. You can go practice on the Bay Course, and then you're in the 18-hole all-amateur tournament. And then on the 8th, is that correct, on the 8th?
That is the pro-am on the Plantation Course.
On the Plantation Course. So then the Plantation Course, and then you have the pro-am draw party, first of all, Wednesday.
Right, Wednesday night, and that's where the teams get together and decide who they're going to select as their professional. It's a computerized draw, seated dinner at the Ritz-Carlton Kapalua. They do a great job. And that's when you get all your goodies as well.
All your goodies. What are some of the goodies that you get?
Well, we don't like to ruin the surprise, but they're going to get a very nice tea gift package. And, of course, then after they finish playing on Thursday, we've got one of our charities, the Lahaina Luna High School cheerleaders will be there to hand out the pro-am, the autographed pro-am photos. So, you know, and then we have the awards reception Thursday night, cocktail reception, where we hand out the awards to the All-Am and the Pro-Am.
Wow. So you get the Pro-Am, the All-Am, a VIP valet parking on Thursday for the Pro-Am, the Pro-Am hospitality for two on Thursday, that's breakfast and lunch buffet, and an invitation for two to the awards reception on Thursday evening at 6, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and of course, I have to go to put a big plug into one of our great partners over the year, Maui Jim Sunglasses. That is part of the tea gift package. Mm. So they've been great supporters for us.
I still wear my volcanoes. Must send them in. One thing about Maui Jim that's wonderful, when you buy a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, if anything goes wrong with it, you know, like you lose a screw, something comes off, something gets scratched, you just send it to them, and they send it back, and it's perfect.
Quality product, that's for sure.
It's perfect, yes. So, and now, after the Pro-Am, is there... You've got the Skybox that goes in, so you have tickets for every day?
You can purchase the option to buy the Skybox, and that's for two people. And you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We've got, you know, poo-poos, beer, wine, just great viewing right on hole number 18, all shaded, very nice. So that's a perfect spot to watch the play.
And you have access to the Plantation House restaurant.
That would be a clubhouse pass, and that allows you into the restaurant Friday through Monday, where they offer an upscale menu and for purchase.
Right. Wow. Everything right there. Yeah, this is nice. So there's only a few available.
Right. So if anyone's interested, give me a buzz at 808-665-9160. You know, so we also, you know, as you know, Danielle, we have about 32 professionals that have qualified so far with 7 events to go. So this weekend, we will find out another new qualifier, or perhaps it could be someone who's already qualified.
Who do we have so far who's committed? Just some.
Well, they don't have to officially commit to the tour until the week before the tournament.
That's right.
So no one really commits this early, but you know, we know by who's booked accommodations. So we're excited. You know, Billy Horschel FedEx Cup winner and the Tour Championship winner will be coming. Matt Kuchar, Bubba Watson's already booked his accommodations. Hunter Mahon, Jason Day. So it's going to be a great field.
Oh, it's a great field. Every year it's fabulous. Now, now that we've talked about the Pro-Am, let's talk a little bit about volunteers. For people who
sure.
want to be a part of it, help it all come together at the Plantation Course, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. And Nancy
still signing up volunteers. And if everyone goes to pgatour.com/Hyundai, and clicks on to volunteer, you can register online. You know, we have a great volunteer force, great chairman, and we just appreciate everybody coming out to support this event, because when you support the event, you are also supporting our charities, you know, on Maui and on Oahu, because, Danielle, as you know, we have 6 designated beneficiaries. And we also support Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, Maui Junior Golf, and through Hyundai's involvement, significant donations have been made to the Kapi'olani Medical Center for Women and Children. So come on out and help us out.
And volunteers who work 5 shifts or more get 2 shirts and caps, 2 weekly tickets, and a complimentary round of golf at the Bay Course. And they're looking for drivers and marshals and shot link operators, gallery control, greeters, people, ticket takers, everybody who's got a skill, standing and waving, saying hi and passing out a pamphlet. That's a skill. You can be a volunteer. Awesome. Nancy Cross, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Danielle. You have a great day.
You too. And if you are interested in going and playing in the Pro-Am, there's a few openings, and the number to call is 808-665-9160. 665-9160. We're going to talk with Ron Cyrak as we come back. And I want to thank Dave Reardon, and I'm so sorry that we lost you. Just the phone, you know, these cell phones, even though they're often reliable, sometimes they decide to stop working. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Alert Alarm Hawaii has been protecting commercial and residential customers across Hawaii with affordable burglar and fire alarm systems since 1962. These systems are designed to detect intruders and signal our 24-hour 5-diamond alarm local monitoring center, which then notifies the appropriate emergency agency. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina company. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, call 528-6407. Providing security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
We have a new phone number for you to call with your questions or your comments or your suggestions. The number is 844-332-8500. Please call that number. It's 844-332-8500. With your questions, your comments, or your suggestions about your game or about the game or about what we're talking about, let us know maybe what the funniest or most memorable moment was that happened to you on the golf course. You could be the winner of a couple of sleeves of golf balls. The number is 844-332-8500. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back in the clubhouse, Ron Syrak, executive editor, Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest, author of the books Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, The Game Before the Game, and Play Your Best Golf Now. We spoke about those books, I think it was last weekend, with Pia and Lynn, Vision 54. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Neil, thanks for having me on. My pleasure.
Absolutely. I have to ask you, do you keep track of how many miles you've flown?
Well, I know how many I've flown on one specific airline, and it's close to 2 million miles, and that's not counting the other ones.
Wow. So, and how about broken down over a year?
I don't know. It's probably in like the 50,000,
60,000 miles over the year. That's an amazing amount of travel. Ron Syrak covers everything. And then all of a sudden, one day, I got to ask you, Ron, when did you figure out that there was something not quite right with you personally, physically?
It was right after the Women's U.S. Open at Pinehurst. I was at Pinehurst. I had the Men's U.S. Open because I was at Pinehurst for the back-to-back Open,
right.
The Women's Open, and then the Men's Open. I was there for 15 days. And then I came home. And I was playing my local golf course here on Cape Cod, and the third hole, the greens elevated, and I got up to the green, and I was huffing and puffing, and I thought, well, that's not right, and I went into, because I walk a lot for my job, I do walk a lot of miles watching golf at tournaments, and I'm in pretty good shape, so I went in and had an echocardiogram and found out that I needed a new aortic valve.
My God, that shock. I mean, and now you've gone through the operation. You were several days in hospital, then in the rehab center, then home. What's it like recovering? What's it like recovering from something as dramatic as major heart surgery?
Well, the first thing that's remarkable is that it was 4 weeks yesterday, so it's only been 4 weeks. And it's remarkable what they can do now. And how good they are at this. But the recovery is very, very challenging. The operation takes about 4 or 5 hours, and the recovery is about 10 weeks because they got to go through a lot of parts of your body to get to the heart. And the key to the recovery is patience. You got to listen to what they say. They said no driving 4 to 6 weeks. Can't lift anything over 10 pounds for 10 weeks. I have a pretty structured exercise program that I do with walking and other lung exercises to rebuild up all that capacity. But the important thing is to listen to what they tell you and to be patient. I'm curious. I think I want to reach out to some golfers who've had heart surgery, open heart surgery. Eric Compton has had heart transplant surgery. But to try to pick their brains about how it affected their golf swing. I'm told sometime in December I can start swinging a golf club again, and I'm curious to see whether I'm going to have a different swing then.
That's an interesting thought, but I also thought you must have a whole new insight into what these athletes we talk about all the time, what it's like for them to recover and be, what you said, patient and listen to your doctor and come back from this trauma, because it's trauma to the body, it's trauma to the psyche, and then to pick it up again. You have a whole different view on this now.
I have a whole different view on a bunch of different things, and that's one, and which is the remarkable admiration I have for people who come back and try to be athletes again on a competitive level after going through something as traumatic to your body as this. But the other thing, and I'll freely admit this, I ignored my symptoms for too long. And I had inklings several years ago that there was something wrong with the valve. And I knew walking golf courses that I was getting, I wasn't in the shape that I used to be. And the idea of that surgery, frankly, scared me. And I put it off, and it went from when it was finally diagnosed that I needed a surgery, I had severe aortic stenosis, which is a closing, a tightening of the aortic valve, And by the time I got on the operating table, it was diagnosed as critical aortic stenosis. And there's a survival rate of less than a year for that if you don't have something done about it. And so that would be my other lesson that I learned from this, and I'd say to everybody out there, which is listen to your body and go see the right people and get the right stuff done.
What is another lesson that you learned?
I can't wait to get back out there. Look, I've always loved my job. I've always loved what I did. In my last, when I found out I needed surgery, I said to them, can I do one more trip? I had the Women's British, the Men's British, and the International Crown planned, and they said, yeah, go ahead. And I did that. But I haven't worked since the International Crown, July 29th. And I miss it enormously. And I'm hoping to return to work at the TME Group at the last LPGA event of the year, the week before Thanksgiving. But it just makes me appreciate how lucky I am to do what I do and how I got to make sure to take better care of myself so I can keep doing it for a longer time.
Exactly. And staying in the moment and appreciating every moment that we have. We take it much too for granted. Speaking of the race to the CME Globe, we've got this season-long points competition, LPGA members accumulating points over this period of time. And as I'm watching the Syme Derby on television on Golf Channel, the women competing, and I see Stacey Lewis, the number one player in the world, and then I see Lydia Ko, 17 years old. If she wins, she becomes the number one player. That is, if Stacey Lewis, but she has to finish 11th.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's incredible what Lydia Ko has accomplished in these short 17 years of her life.
It's remarkable, as you know, because we talked about this a long time ago. I played with her in the Pro-Am at the very first event of this year in the Bahamas, at the Pure Silk Tournament in the Bahamas, and she could not have impressed me more, and not just as a golfer, but as an individual. You know, when Mike Wan, the LPGA commissioner, gave her an exemption to the 18-year-old minimum age rule, they look at three things. They look, are you capable of competing out here? Well, there was no question about that. She'd won on tour. Can you financially support yourself out here? Well, there was no question about that. She was going to have endorsements as soon as she turned pro. But the third thing is, are you mature enough to exist in an adult world, hanging out with adults at pro-am parties and pro-ams and all that stuff? And she is one very, very mature young woman. And I think she's just going to continue to get better and better and better.
I couldn't agree with you more, except I have a big caveat. I don't understand the lining up of putters and the lining up of drivers on the LPGA Tour. Why is that allowed?
It's funny because, I don't know when it was, maybe 10 years ago, they got stricter about that, and to where the caddy used to be able to stand behind them all the way through the shot, and now they have to get out of there when it's time to pull the trigger and swing. I would like to see them do something about it. I think it has a negative effect on pace of play, and I think pace of play is a huge issue facing the game right now. I would not be surprised if they end up doing something about it. I have a lot of friends who are caddies on the pro tours. They don't particularly like doing it, you know, because it puts them in an awkward situation. Because a lot of times, if the player's off like 5 feet on the thing, and you just want to say no, you know, I mean, it's a real fine line of like, when are you giving information and when are you creating doubt in their mind? And they don't like to say anything to their player that makes them less confident about their shot.
Understood. By the same token, to me, it seems like the real competition is which player can line themselves up and execute the shot and make the score. If you have to have somebody lining up your driver, I mean, heavens, yeah, could somebody please show me exactly where I'm supposed to hit this?
Well, I always liked, 10 years ago, at the 2004 Women's U.S. Open at the Orchards in South Hadley, Mass., Meg Mallon won the tournament by two strokes over Annika Sorenstam. And Meg said something in the interview room that day that I repeat a lot to young players. She said, I hope that young players out there and their coaches pay attention to the fact that the best player in the world is also the fastest player in the world. And Annika Sorenstam was always the fastest player in the world. And a big part of that was she did most of it herself.
Yeah.
You know, she stepped into the think box, and as you know from Vision 54, made all of her decisions. And then once she crossed the line into the play box, she took her stance, she made visual contact with the target, and she pulled the trigger. And that was all that was it. There was no lining up. There was no second guessing. There was no nothing except just once you get to the ball, it's time to hit it.
That's excellent. That's excellent. We should all remember that. Don't think too much. Goodness, as you said, come out of the think box, get to the play box, stop thinking, just play. Miriam Lee last week edged out Stacey Lewis. Stacey Lewis last week had another moment with the crowds. Have you spent much time in Asia with these, less than etiquette knowledge crowds? I don't know how to put it. Sometimes rude.
Yeah, in 2008, I was at the BMW tournament in Shanghai, which is a European Tour men's event, and in walking around there, it was like that they were having a golf tournament in the middle of a picnic. People were sitting around on blankets, drinking wine, smoking cigarettes, talking, and there was just constant hum of noise and everything. And Stacey got in trouble last year in China for making comments about fan behavior. And I thought the LPGA made a mistake. And they sort of hung Stacey out to dry on that. And I love Stacey. And I hope Stacey never quits talking. I hope she keeps putting her opinions out there, because her opinions are always well thought out and insightful. Sometimes they may not be ones that she should necessarily express. But when she made her complaints about fan behavior last year, the LPGA needed to step ahead and say, hey, this is part of growing the game. And part of what we're doing when we're taking golf to non-golf countries is we've got to educate the fans on how to be fans. And I think the LPGA could have used Stacey's bad situation as a educating moment to everybody out there about part of growing the game and part of taking the game to new places is that people then got to learn how it is that you follow golf.
Exactly. I've got to take a break. Will you stay with me for a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
Fabulous, because I want to talk about somebody who spoke out about something that he felt very strongly about. His name is Phil Mickelson, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a task force. I find that amazing. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. We're speaking with Ron Cyrak, Executive Editor, Golf World, and Senior Writer, Golf Digest. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
When the outside world grows too intrusive, it's nice to know you can escape to one that's all your own. Like the one you'll find inside the Acura RDX. With over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space, the interior of the RDX is designed to be your personal sanctuary. The RDX also features perforated leather-trimmed seating surfaces that provide maximum comfort to every passenger, gripping them through accelerated turns. Immaculately designed and tailored to fit the human form, the Acura RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stowed in cargo area.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii.
We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And we're talking with Ron Syrak, who's just recovering from major surgery. Ron, when you can't do anything but think, and what were some of the things that you I am definitely going to do X when I'm better.
Well, I'll tell you, first off, I've never watched as much sports on TV in my life as I have since I've come home here. It was, the timing was perfect. I was up at 2:30 in the morning East Coast time to watch the Ryder Cup play on Friday and Saturday. So that was a lot of fun. I'm going to play more golf, I think. You know, that's one thing that I really miss. I actually went about a week ago. There was a golf tournament at the course that I play here. And it was a nice day. I had somebody pick me up, drive me over, and the people at the club were nice enough to give me a cart and a driver and have me. I was able to walk around, watch other people play, ride around, watch other people play. But I miss golf a whole lot right now.
Okay, I hear you. Let's talk a little bit Ryder Cup. Okay, Phil Mickelson did something that was like so unorthodox by in front of the world. Calling out the performance and the way that Tom Watson led or didn't lead or his team. And here we lost again, 16.5 to 11.5 at Glen Eagles. Now we have the PGA of America saying there's going to be a task force put together to figure out how we can do better. By the same token, we just have, you know, the European Ryder Cup folks saying, okay, David Howell completes the five-man panel that will select the European team's captain for 2016. Paul McGinley, Jose Maria Olazabal, Colin Montgomery, and George O'Grady and David Howell will get together. They seem to work it so easily. And we're going to have a task force. It kind of makes me sad, but tell me what you think.
Well, you know, I think the whole task force thing goes to exactly what, and look, Phil Mickelson probably shouldn't have said what he said in the venue that he said it. You know, the press conference right after the losing effort with Watson sitting three seats away from him. But everything he said was spot on. And the whole task force thing is really points to one of the problems, which is, we've factored out institutional knowledge from this whole thing. We haven't had a repeat captain do two in a row since Ben Hogan in 47 and 49. The Europeans involve past captains, all those people that you just mentioned who are going to be involved. They involve past captains more. And then the captains, once they get to the event, involve the players more, and they have conversations about it. And, you know, the more I think about this, the more I look at, Europe has much more of a we culture, and we have much more of a me culture.
Yes,
and I think that really comes out in the Ryder Cup. They maybe World Cup soccer, all those things that they're used to pulling together as a nation under a flag and doing these things in a different way than we do. And here's another thing, Danielle, that sort of, I don't know if it annoys me, but perplexes me about all this. When the United States loses something, the knee-jerk reaction from many, many fans is there's got to be something wrong. When the U.S. didn't make it to Sunday in an international crown, there's something wrong with the format. Well, maybe the United States shouldn't have lost 3-0 to Taiwan. Maybe that's, you know.
Exactly.
And when the United States doesn't, I mean, look, the United States lost this Ryder Cup pretty much by the score everyone was predicting they were going to lose this Ryder Cup by. I thought it was going to be 15.5, 12.5. You know, I mean, I look at it, Europe just had a better team, top to bottom. And we tend to think when the United States didn't win, something's got to be wrong. Well, maybe sometimes, too, you just get outplayed. But I do think they need to figure out how to get institutional knowledge of past captains more involved in the process.
Yeah, and I like the idea of getting the players. Is on the European side, don't they have a players representative who has a little bit of input in who it is who plays or performs as captain?
Absolutely, and they talk about all this stuff very, very openly. One of the amazing things about the European team, it's less so now because Sergio's mellowed a little bit, but Sergio Garcia has never been one of the most popular players of the European Tour, but that week he's their teammate, and everybody embraces him, and everybody loves him.
Yeah.
And they do that. They sit around, they talk, they have conversations, and they try to figure it out as a team together. And it's, again, it's a very different cultural thing, I think.
It is different. And when you say cultural, they keep the politics, the religion, the whatever of each other's personal lives out. And it just becomes a mission to accomplish as a team the winning of the Ryder Cup.
and Danielle, my observation, and I first started going to the Ryder Cup in 1993, and which is the last time the U.S. won on foreign soil, and Watson was the captain then. But my observation is that the European players go into the Ryder Cup viewing it as a week-long fraternity party, and they embrace the atmosphere. They have a ball. They love it. They love how crazy the crowds are. The Americans go in as if they're going in for root canal surgery, and they just don't embrace the moment. Is it different than any other tournament they play? Absolutely. It's why we as fans love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
The singing and the chanting and everything about it, it's entirely different. But you've got to embrace it. You've got to say, yeah, I love the difference of it. The American women do a much, much better job of embracing that in Solheim Cup than the American men do. They sing, they dance, they'll stand. I'll always remember in Barsebäck, Sweden, with this European crowd singing songs about her and everything, Rosie Jones getting on the first tee and playing air guitar, and just going along with it. That's what you got to do. You got to buy into the moment. And the European men do a better job of buying into the moment.
Yeah, it's kind of like girls have a great slumber party, and the guys should think of it as going out camping, Boy Scouts. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think Paul Azinger should come back and captain the team?
I think that he's going to come back and captain the team. I think that that's one way out of this for the PGA of America. Let's see if that works. But there are longer problems going ahead. And again, you look at it, this European team, not only do they continue to be good, but they continue to turn over their roster in a very, impressive way. Right as Lee Westwood is walking out the door, maybe playing his last Ryder Cup, we've got Victor Dubuisson walking in the door,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's talking about him as he's going to be the next great European player. And they keep doing that. And guys, too, like Justin Rose and like Ian Poulter and like Sergio Garcia and like Colin Montgomery when he was playing, who don't win major championships, play in the Ryder Cup the way they don't play in the majors, because they do. This is their fifth major for them, and match play is a whole different animal. And European team is going to be very good for a long time.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, and RadioGolfClub.com. Anytime you want to hear this entire show, you can always go there. So Azinger comes back. And the pod system, I did like what Tom Watson said. We're not pods. It's a team of 12 people.
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly it. But I think what the pod system was really doing was a way of establishing sort of like team building within the team.
Mm.
And that's part of what's missing in the American format. You look at the European team again, and they are just chock full of leaders on that team. Ian Poulter's a leader, Westwood's a leader, Rory McIlroy's a leader, going out and winning his match 5 and 4 in singles on Sunday. That's leadership. And Justin Rose is a leader on there. You look at the American team, who's the leader? who's the leader? You know,
Mickelson.
Yeah, you know, and Mickelson gets benched one day by Watson and doesn't play at all on Saturday.
That was weird.
And, well, you know, there were Watson made some glaring mistakes. Now, you want to say, okay, Mickelson's 44 years old. He can't play five matches. He's only going to play three. Okay, I'll buy that. But you play him twice on Friday and none on Saturday? Wouldn't it make more sense to play him once Friday, once Saturday, and then singles on Sunday? And then I understand that Watson had his afternoon pairings for Friday already made, but when Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed go out Friday morning and play lights out, don't you run them back out there? You know, you call an audible, you make a change, and you send them back out Friday afternoon, but he didn't do that. So he made a lot of mistakes. There's no question he made a lot of mistakes. But I do think the bottom line is Vince Lombardi could have been the captain of this American team, and Europe would have still won because I think Europe had the better player.
Exactly. The score shows. If we'd been great players, we would have won, regardless of who your captain is. I had fun writing a column about putting continents versus continents in the year 2100, I thought, you know, by then the globalization of golf will have matured to such a point that there will be great golfers on all of the continents, and why are we leaving all these people out? They'll want to play too. It's United States gets to play the President's Cup, United States gets to play the Ryder Cup, and we play the rest of the world on one time, and then we play the European continent the other time. So let's open this thing up. Let's make it North America, South America, Africa. We can field huge teams. And how about just making it North America to begin with versus the European continent?
You know, I don't want to see either the Solheim Cup or the Ryder Cup change. And I think one of the reasons there's such an intensity in that competition is that the teams do have national identities. Europe has the European Union. They have a flag, they have an anthem, they have a parliament. They are an entity, and the United States is the United States. And you look in the President's Cup, and it's the United States against the international team. The international team, really, in the President's Cup, if we want to be honest here, is a pretty contrived thing. I saw the international crown, and this is what was great about the LPGA international crown. The Koreans and the Japanese don't want to be on the same team. They want to be playing against each other. And in they weren't thrown together on the same team as is the case in the President's Cup, but in the International Crown, they got to play against each other, and that's what they want to do. There's a rivalry there. There's a national pride there that they want to beat each other. And I think both the Ryder Cup, of course, the Ryder Cup, this has been going on for 30 years now, has matured into one of the most intense sporting events on the planet, and the Solheim Cup is there now. With Europe now making it, having won the last two and making it more competitive. And I was very happy to see that when the LPGA created the International Crown, because there was a big cry when the United States had won eight of the first 11 Solheim Cups. There was a big cry out there that we need to add the rest of the world to the European team to make it a competition. Well, they restrained from doing that, and it's ended up being a great, great event now. Solheim Cup's going to remain the way it is. And because they created the International Crown, that lessens that pressure now to create another event.
Excellent. Ron Cyrak is executive editor of Golf World, senior writer for Golf Digest, and author of the Vision 54 trilogy, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, The Game Before the Game, and Play Your Best Golf Now. Thanks for being on the show, Ron.
Thanks for having me on, Danielle. My pleasure.
Excellent. We're going to do some coaching right after this with Coach Dane. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poi Poo Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poi Poo Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poi Poo Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poi Poo Bay. That's 742-8711. Poi Poo Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Alert Alarm Hawaii has been protecting commercial and residential customers across Hawaii with affordable burglar and fire alarm systems since 1962. These systems are designed to detect intruders and signal our 24-hour, 5-diamond alarm local monitoring center, which then notifies the appropriate emergency agency. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina company. Alert Alarm of Hawaii. Call 528-6407. Providing security solutions for your peace of mind.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
We have a new phone number for you to call with your questions or your comments or your suggestions. The number is 844-332-8500. Please call that number. It's 844-332-8500. With your questions, your comments, or your suggestions about your game or about the game or about what we're talking about, let us know maybe what the funniest or most memorable moment was that happened to you on the golf course. You could be the winner of a couple of sleeves of golf balls. The number is 844-332-8500. Looking forward to hearing from you.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose? That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Coaching. Being the captain. Coaching. Do you use the carrot? Do you use the stick? Dane Gingrich, Coach Dane, is on with us now to talk about that. It was inspired by, of course, it seemed like the carrot was being used on the European team by McGinley, and the stick was definitely being used by Watson. Welcome to the show, Dane.
Danielle, how are you? It's been a while. Ron was on fire in his last segment. He was spot on, wasn't he?
Yes. Always is. Yes. He's recovering from major surgery. So whenever you're recovering from anything like that and you're down, you have so much time to really ponder things. But, So what do you think? How do you know when to use the different tactics?
That's the art form of coaching, right? There's the science part of the coaching, the ABCs, the mechanics, the strategy, and then the art form is knowing your players, right, and knowing who you have and how he or she responds in certain situations, and that is the art form of coaching, and which is why very few coaches can take it to that Phil Jackson, that crazy top level, right? Because it is more than just ABC.
Yes,
right?
And so you need to know your players, and then you need to know how your players are as a group, because the group dynamic changes. The individuals become one, right?
Right.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's why Azinger is probably so golden, right? There's something about him, right, versus maybe some other guys that he just seems to have the ability to tap into each player's individual motivations and triggers, right? And he kind of can get inside of each player from the inside out versus the outside in, what we see with our eyes about player X and Y. He gets inside it. He has an ability because he did it himself too, right? He did it with himself. I think, you two were talking about him briefly towards the end, and I think he's a great example of, you know, the art form of coaching.
Excellent. So obviously you use the carrot in some instances with individual, you use a stick in some instances with an individual, but as the team, you need to know what the team dynamic is, what the team feeling is. And I don't think you walk into the room when a group of guys just lost or are down 10-6 and then you criticize their performance. I mean, it's just like...
I mean, criticism, right? The whole Bobby Knight style, the old school. Let's beat you into submission and hope that you respond.
Right.
Those days are over, right? I mean, that players aren't responding to that anymore. That's not how they're brought up from 8 years old, 9 years old. And I think, you know, confidence. How, like, beating a player down and hoping they respond. I'm gonna tell you how poorly you're doing, and now I want you to play well. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, just from a human standpoint, you want someone to do well. There are times where you can push a button here and there, but for the majority, you got to lift them up. You got to paint them a picture of why the comeback is coming. Why each of you have the ability to play past the level that you're currently playing. Right?
Yes.
And that's the key. Right?
I think what I just heard from you is that there's a moment when you can say to an individual, don't get down on yourself. You can do it. I don't want to see that your attitude right now is defeating yourself. Now pick
right.
yourself up because you can do it. You've got to instill that belief and never be afraid to say you're going to change the world. You don't need to defy physics, simply influence one mind at a time. I love that quote from you.
Yeah, I wrote that on my site. Yeah, thank you. I like that. That's great. that was a nice surprise. I love that. But you're right, right? Like going as a coach, you want to address, especially in that specific spot you were talking about, right? 6-10, down 6-10. You want to take the time and assess each player's individual talents, and it's more than just all of you can do it. How about we go to each player and talk about why this specific player can do it? Let's draw back from maybe his past comebacks, his past abilities. You know, when you're in that moment of, you know, lack of confidence, your instinct is to just feel, you know, worthless, right? Because your confidence, you know, kind of goes with your results. So as a coach, you need to figure out a way to talk to that specific player more than just the team, right? Take time, talk to that specific player about why he should believe and the examples of why he should believe from the past. Right, his preparation, and get him in a state of emotion where it's not about being down. Now it's about, I'm coming back. Like, so you just switch the mentality from, I can't believe I'm down, I can't believe how poor we're playing, to we're all going to do this because coach said, look, and we can do this, this, and this. We've all done it in the past, and now let's just go take one shot. Just play one shot. One decision at a time, and let's make this comeback.
Yeah, I mean, and yet, that's what Phil Mickelson did.
Right.
He turned his back on Watson at that Saturday dinner, whatever it was, team room meeting, and he spoke to each individual. I wasn't there. I don't know, but this is what the hearsay is. He spoke to each individual and pointed out each individual's strengths.
Right.
How about Phil Mickelson? Phil Mickelson as a captain next time.
Right. Right. That's almost right. I mean, that's an art form, though, right? That means I mean, you never know. You never know who can be a good coach until you put that player under fire, right? And some coaches you think would be phenomenal because of their past performances, right? But they don't know how to inspire and motivate and tap into some tangible evidence for each player. You never know. Phil might be amazing. You never know, right?
That's exactly right. Dane Gingrich, CoachYourMind.com. CoachYourMind.com. How did you get into coaching?
Oh man, I've played tennis and basketball since I was 2 years old and 3 years old growing up forever. And when I stopped playing professional tennis, I started coaching tennis, and then it turned into the mental game, turned into coaching athletes with the mental side. I've been coaching, forever. It just kind of made a segue, and it's, you know, being a point guard on the basketball team, you're kind of a coach on the floor anyways. So, I mean, it's just been kind of trying to hone that skill since I can remember. And I love it. I love it because you can actually make tangible change, right, in a player doing it right, right?
Absolutely. Well, you talk about the 1% mindset that you have to, if you want something, you have to want it so much that you put everything into it, everything, even if it means just having 4 hours of sleep a night. If that's what it takes, then you'd have to put everything into it.
Yeah, the 1% mindset is exactly that, right? It's just about doing what the 99% won't, right? Doing what is uncomfortable, doing what hurts, sacrificing things that the majority won't sacrifice, right? Because that next level of success, Ryder Cup, that next level of success, you know, whatever we're talking about, mm-hmm. it can only come by doing what maybe you don't even believe can be done. It's about sacrificing and embracing the struggle along the way, because there's no such thing as just this beautiful skyrocketing graph of success, right? I mean, like, it's about putting in time and just an amazing amount and loving the struggle along the way, Danielle. Right? I think that's what a lot of athletes, golf, there's a lot more pain than there is pleasure, you know, when you're learning the game. And it's a matter of loving the journey of, you know, loving the process of figuring it out, you know, to become that 1%.
The PGA Tour just started the season after having a week off. We're at fries.com, and there's a whole new school of kids. You know, this is, you're going to hear names like Carlos Ortiz, Justin Thomas, Daniel Summerhayes, William McGirt, Brooks Koepka, you may remember his name, Zach Blair, Russell Knox, Adam Hadwin. These guys have been around for a while. Some, Tony Finau, 17, he turned pro. And
right.
He was playing for Turtle Bay, where the Turtle Bay Amateur is being held this week again, two weekends in a row. Here's a young man who a lot of people, he's too young to start. He's 17, it's way too young. You can't do it at 17. He's too young. He was a high school basketball star. Now he's 6'4". He's a crowd favorite. He hits it long. He's never given up.
Right. 17 years old, wow. I mean, I would never say anybody can't do it. I think 17 years old, you're playing. I think that's the beautiful thing about golf, too, is you don't have to be. I mean, 17 years old, turning pro is phenomenal. And if he, you know, Jordan has kind of proved that you don't have to be 28 and you know, to succeed at that level.
Jordan Spieth, yes.
Yeah. And it's a whole, 17 is a whole nother, because you're playing men, right? 17, you're playing 32-year-olds, 29, 35. The beautiful thing about golf is you don't have to be, like tennis, 17, 18, if you're not a pro, you don't have a chance, right? And I think 17 is young, but it is going to come down to his mentality, because he's still growing. Physically, he's going to grow. He's going to get stronger.
And it's
a matter of, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's just that he turned pro at 17. He's in his 20s now.
Yeah.
He's overcome all of those naysayers. He's and now he's on the PGA Tour.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, everybody says he can't do it. And even at 20, right, he's still growing. The mentality to go from to turn pro at 17 is you know, that's just phenomenal, mm-hmm. right? To be able to make it at 17, get into his 20s and continue going. I mean, that really is the exception to the rule, right? And it's phenomenal that he was able, because really what he's done is very mental, right? It's very much about that mental toughness.
About being strong, about being confident, and he has a huge family behind him, and that's probably one of the great strengths in sports, is having the family support, the driving force behind you. The confidence and the passion. And all of this I take from his website. This is Dane Gingrich, coachyourmind.com. You coach golfers.
Yeah. I coach golfers. I coach all athletes. I coach, but golf is so amazing to coach, because it is so mental, right? To take it to that next level, it becomes less about golf swing, right? And more about how to play the game and how to manage yourself on and off the golf course. Love. And I play too, so I know the struggles and the pain that you feel mentally.
Can anybody get in touch with you?
coachdane.com, and all my contact info is on there. Twitter at Coach Dane. Yes, anybody can contact
Coach Dane. It's DAYNE.com. Are you coaching any? I remember the last time we spoke, you were coaching someone that you weren't sure you could mention their name.
Right, Aaron. I was working with Aaron Oberholzer for a while, and as he was making a comeback from his wrist injury, amazing talent, and his wrist finally just wouldn't allow him to play enough golf. So I've been working with Jack Perry, who was number one at Northwestern All-American, and now he just graduated, so he's making his grind on up the ladder. You're going to hear from him big time coming up in the next year or two. Jack Perry is going to explode onto the scene.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for being on the show. Is there something that you wanted to, communicate with you? You were looking forward to saying when you were on the air.
Look, it's just about pushing past limits, whether, you're a golfer on and off the golf course. It's about stretching that belief system past what everybody else says is realistic. I think that's the strongest message, right?
Yes.
Right? Just get past what they say is realistic and create your own definition for that word.
Oh, I like that. It's, making your dreams come true.
Absolutely.
And not being afraid to dream. Your
dream.
Yes.
Your dream.
Yeah, not somebody else's.
That's right.
All right. CoachDane.com. Coach Dane, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I want to thank all the people who make this show possible. And we were going to talk a little bit more with Dave Reardon, a sports columnist for the Honolulu Star Advertiser, who started the show with me, and then we just got disconnected. And but we've kind of run out of time. So I certainly hope that he'll come back again, because some of his stories about being on the golf course were just phenomenal. That's the beauty of this game. We talk about the professional players, and, we think, oh, yeah, I'll never be able to play. Who cares? Those are the top 250 players in the world. So of the thousands and thousands and thousands of golfers there are, that's 250 guys and 125 ladies who are on the tours. And they're working all the time, working it. So if you go out there on the golf course and you have a couple of bad shots, don't beat yourself up. You got to have a good time. You don't practice every day, do you? You don't go out there and swing it on the practice range and take it to the golf course on a regular basis. So if you don't put in the time, you're not out there to be perfect. And golf isn't a game of perfect. And if you haven't read that, then you need to, because it'll put it all into perspective for you. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. First of all, Alert Alarm Hawaii. Alert Alarm, protecting commercial and residential customers across the islands with affordable burglar and fire alarm systems since 1962, providing security solutions for your peace of mind. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Alamoana Boulevard. It's a great day. A great day to go test drive an Acura of Honolulu. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a little store, a gigantic store, a house, a townhouse, doesn't matter. Everybody's put together differently. Just give them a call. You got to have your plumbing done right away. I know what it's like. Call Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. The Grand Slam of Golf was played there for 10 years. It's Kauai's South Shore gem. That's Poipu Bay Golf Course. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. They come onto your property and they tell you, this is where you're vulnerable. This is where we can protect you. This is how we can protect you. It's protection for your home, for your business, for your concert or a special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, what you need. They're here in Hawaii, of course, and in California. And congratulations to everyone up Turtle Bay side. May you all hit the sweet spot every time, because today is the Champions and the B Flight. It's two weekends in a row, the Turtle Bay Amateur. And today the Champions are playing as well as the B Flight. May y'all hit the sweet spot every time. And you too. Thank you for your mama. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.